This is Catherine O'Connell and welcome to Lawyer on Air. If you are looking for inspirational stories about women in law, then this is the podcast for you. Join me and my lawyer ladies as we enjoy a glass of wine after a hard day at work and talk about the world of women in law. It's my passion to share stories of amazing legal ladies who are working as in-house legal counsel, who have law firm roles, who are leading on boards, and who are doing law differently. From time to time, I will also invite special guests on the show to share their insights on legal recruiting and tips for getting hired as a successful lawyer in Japan. I hope you will enjoy getting to know these amazing women who I am so proud to share a profession with. I'm glad you're here and I hope you enjoy the show. Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Lawyer on Air podcast. In this episode, I share with you another diverse story of a woman lawyer working in Japan. I'm Catherine, the host of the show, and I'm a lawyer based in Tokyo for more than 20 years. And I love helping unlock the wisdom of the stories that women lawyers never tell. What I've learned in my career in law so far is that jumping into the blue ocean is so much fun. I have no time to be bored, and I can believe in myself that I can manage unknown situations, which is my competence. I am not necessarily good at one thing only, but I can do many different things. Well, those are the words of my guest, Akiko Kawaguchi. Akiko is Assistant Division Director, Legal and Corporate Affairs Division for Chiyoda Corporation, a global engineering company headquartered in Yokohama, Japan. Akiko holds an LLB from Hitotsubashi University and an LLM from Columbia Law. She is licensed in both Japan and in New York. Well, Akiko became a Japanese lawyer in 1999 and immediately joined Mitsubishi Corporation. That's a Japanese Sogo Shosha, a trading company. She was not only the first Japanese qualified lawyer in the Mitsubishi group of companies, but also the very first Japanese qualified lawyer in all of the Sogo Shosha. That's over all of the trading companies in Japan. Akiko shared with me that as at June 2023, among the total of all registered Japanese bengoshi, which is round about 45,000 now, female Japanese bengoshi total about 9,000, so that's 20%. In 2001, when Japan In-House Lawyers Association first took in-house statistics, female lawyers who were in-house numbered at around 19.7%. That percentage has grown gradually, and in 2023, it was 41.5%. But at the time that Akiko joined Mitsubishi, there were only around 20 to 30 in-house counsels in all of Japan. You will find listening to Akiko that she saw the in-house counsel market in Japan as a blue ocean, just waiting for people to dive in, and that is what she did. And she's been enjoying the waves of that blue ocean in in-house law ever since. You can check out Akiko's full bio in the show notes. On this episode, Akiko shares how geopolitical incidents that happened when she was at high school had a direct impact on her choice to be a lawyer, based on a feeling of needing stability and seeing justice and logic in the midst of the chaos. It's a really interesting background to becoming a lawyer that I don't think anyone has shared with us before on the podcast, and I know you'll be drawn in by this story. She also shares her three big tips for long-term success as a lawyer working in Japan, and we should bottle these up and sell them. Akiko also finally shares her favorite book, what she would be doing if she wasn't a lawyer, and an interest that she has that you might not know about her. That's a total mic drop for me. Let's get into it. Hello, Akiko, and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, indeed.
Well,
I'm so excited.
I'm excited too. So I have been waiting for a very long time to have you on the show, so very glad to have you here.
Oh, me too.
And every time I do a podcast episode, we start with the same question. If we were meeting up in person, where would we be? Do you have a favorite wine bar or restaurant that you love to go to? And okay, what would be your choice from the menu?
Okay, great. Thank you. And I now work in the Yokohama area, and I recently find that a very good local bistro bar, Jiro, and where you can enjoy the variety of wine and the fresh beer, as well as the seasonal local Zevia. And actually, if I may add that I am love beer,
Oh.
and probably because that Yokohama has a clean beer factory. In general, the beer here is very fresh, and there are a lot of variety. So, if you are interested in the fresh beer, please come to Yokohama.
Oh, very nice. Kirin is great, and I think that would be lots of fun. I do love a beer once it gets to be a little warmer, and it's great to drink that. And you mentioned the food was like the wild game meat, right?
Yes.
Like deer or boar. I think you called it gibier. I'd never
Yes,
heard of
Jibia.
that before. Gibier, gibier. It's French, I
Jibia,
think.
probably. Yes, and I'm not quite
Oh.
sure about the pronunciation of the
Yeah.
French.
I'm sure someone
However,
who's
in
French.
Japan, that
Yeah.
the katakana, the
Gibier. Okay, it must be French. And I think often the French pronunciation is very close to the katakana. So I think gibier
Jibie.
must be it.
Oh, really? Okay. So
Great.
please enjoy.
Wow. That was really interesting. I hope we can go out there sometime and have a lovely occasion together. I know there's one other podcast guest called Akiko who also has recently, with her husband, opened a restaurant out there.
Wow, amazing.
Well, no, actually a little bit further afield, but it could be quite interesting to go to both of those places with you and see what they're like. Thank you.
Okay, so we have to organize the Akiko night.
Akiko night. Indeed. And there's one more Akiko as well from Vanguard. So we'd have three Akikos.
Oh, yeah, amazing. So 3-day ticket will be required to complete.
Exactly. I love that plan. Well, let's also think about a little bit further back in your earlier days when you were a child, or maybe when you were a young adult. What kinds of careers and things were you thinking about or dreaming about to do in the future?
Actually, it is too big name for me, but my parents decided to name me as a first name a child of the woods. And actually, my parents were not Christian, but they were so that they touched by the Bible's the paragraph, and that appreciate the appearance of the word as a God. And they give me the name, so that from day one, literally, I am determined to be an adult to do something with the word power. And when I was young, I really loved reading books, and I would like to be novelist. But at the early stage, I find that the reading book is one thing, but the writing a book is another thing, and I'm not necessarily a creative person. But I really love logics, and I really like justice, so to speak. So when I was high school, I was determined to go to study law at the university. That's where my early career starts.
Wow, I think it's very significant that your parents chose your name, Akiko, meaning child of the words. And here you are, you know, your whole life as a lawyer is really based around words and interpreting the meaning of words. Yeah,
Yeah, I hope
interesting.
that my parents must be pleased.
I hope so. We named her correctly. Yay. I'm interested now to know the meaning of your kanji for your name and the other two Akikos we've just talked about. I must look into their kanji names. That's so interesting. So you wanted to study law.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, and logic and justice came up for you. So where did that feeling of justice come up? That's interesting for an early age as a high school student.
So it was not necessarily one single event that led me to law. But when I was a high school student, it was around in late 1980s. And there were a lot of things happened in the world. When you look at China, there was Tiananmen Square incident. In Europe, on the other hand, the Berlin Wall was pulled down. And Eastern Europe countries are liberated one by one. And finally, the Soviet Union collapsed. And at my school, the world map textbook was revised year by year, but still my textbook borderline does not reflect what happens in the news. And in Japan, on the other hand, the Showa era ended and the Heisei started. And until that time, because that the Showa emperor lived so long and that his era occupied almost half of the Japanese contemporary history, I never thought about what happened if the emperor deceased, whether that their existence relies on the support of the national people or not. And that kind of series of events let me think that nothing is so firm and stable, and everything would be changed. And in the news, that a lot of young people led that kind of events, especially high school students or university students. So I believed in the young generation's power at the time. And while the world is a little bit chaotic, still that for me, if the logic and the justice can penetrate into that kind of changing chaotic world, probably that I can do something as a part of the young generation. That's what I thought at that time.
That's very impactful because so many chaotic events going on, as you say, Tiananmen Square, Berlin Wall coming down, Soviet Union collapsing, and you had this change in the emperor as well. How incredibly significant that would have been. I remember studying Japanese at university around that time when the emperor died. And for me, I was just learning Japanese. I didn't realize the significance of the emperor dying. I remember my teachers being very moved and very impacted by it. So I guess I knew that I had a lot more to do to learn about Japanese culture and history, but really significant, and also that logic and justice tying into that chaotic world. And it's chaotic now as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so that probably because of the generation issue, and I knew that it is very chaotic and a lot of people cried all over the world.
Yes.
But still, I believe in the logic and the justice, and at some point in time, we can reach to the agreement to make the world better.
Right. So underneath all that chaotic situation, there is still justice and logic as the firm basis.
Yes, I hope so. And
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so. And like I say, even if that it is a very small power, still if that everyone contributes a bit to that direction, probably the world will become better.
Wow.
That's my belief.
Wow, I love that. And so you then actually graduated from the Legal Training and Research Institute under the Japanese Supreme Court, and you got the Japanese bar. So were there many women at that time studying the bar in your class?
Yeah, so it is a relatively small number, and almost a little bit about 20%. And more statistically, that the entire number of trainees were 700 something, and the female were 160 to 70. So, you know, it is less than one in four. That's
right.
The ratio.
And has it changed now? What's the ratio now?
Yeah, it's gradually increasing, but still in 2023, the ratio is slightly less than 30%. We could not yet break the wall or ceiling of the 30%.
Not like the Berlin Wall yet, hasn't collapsed.
Not yet.
Wow, that's really interesting. And after studying law, you decided to take that bar as like your career choice.
Yes. If you pass the bar exam, you have three choices, to become judge or a prosecutor or the lawyers.
Right.
But I decided to be a lawyer. And especially that I want to be the in-house counsel from day one, which is relatively rare at
it
the
is.
time in Japan.
Yeah.
And also probably the global markets, that it is relatively rare.
Oh, so why in-house counsel from the beginning? I think it's great. Do you know what made you think that?
It was 1999.
Mm.
I immediately joined the Mitsubishi Corporation and the Sogo Shosha.
Yes.
and as a first Japanese qualified lawyer in entire Mitsubishi Group companies or in Sogo Shosha. And at the time, there was no statistics at all, but it was said that it was only about 20 or 30 in-house counsels. The most of them are retiree from the mega law firm to be a general counsel of foreign companies' Tokyo office. And so it is quite rare for lawyers to jump into the company without any background. However, I thought at the time, I'm not quite sure whether it is right or not, but at the time, I thought that it is partially because of the Japanese seniority system, where if you want to pass the bar and to be trained to become lawyer, you were already senior to some of the freshmen in the company. And the Japanese companies are so puzzled to put us into the seniority system. But relatively, I was young enough to put somewhere in the seniority system without drastically changing the system. And then, therefore, from inside, I thought that we could make the space for the in-house counsels. And I believe that anyway, if the Japanese companies compete globally, in-house counsels must be a must item. And therefore, in my view, that it is almost like a blue ocean. So I want to be there.
Wow, amazing. Let's just stop on that because you joined Mitsubishi Corporation, first qualified lawyer in the Mitsubishi Group, as well as amongst all of the Sogo Shosha, so the trading companies.
Yes.
Wow, I never knew that about you, that you were the first Japanese qualified lawyer to join not only Mitsubishi, but amongst the trading companies. That's incredible.
Yes.
Quite revolutionary. It sounds very much like the history you talked about at the time of the things that were happening in history. You're being also quite revolutionary here.
Yes,
Yeah.
I thought that it is quite interesting, and especially when that I learned that the Japanese traditional companies did not just take in-house counsel, but they refused to take the in-house counsel because they were not so sure about the benefit to do so.
Wow.
So it is a small revolutionary action. That being said, again, that when I was high school student, I saw a lot of dramatic events. So I was brave enough to do new thing.
That's what I was thinking. You were brave enough and had confidence enough with everything else going around. Why would such a small move, as you're saying, of becoming in-house legal, why would that matter amongst all this chaotic stuff going on? Wow. And Japanese companies refused in-house legal counsel and didn't know the benefit. That has certainly changed over time now. And I also thought it was quite interesting how you said they were puzzled where to put you in the box of that system. I remember applying for a job at Panasonic, Matsushita at the time, and
Yes.
the form you had to fill out for the CV is very boxed in exactly the way that they want you to be. So if you had been outside of Japan or you were a foreigner like me, you couldn't fit everything in because it was a different system. Congratulations on pioneering for all of us, for all of the people that are there. And now I understand why,
No.
JILA, we will talk about that a bit later, the Japan In-House
Yeah.
Legal Lawyers Association is very important to you and why you
Yeah.
were at the beginning of that. We'll talk about
Yeah.
that in a moment. But just congratulations to you,
Wow.
Akiko, for taking the
No.
stand there. And I just want to celebrate that in some way with you at some point and make it more obvious because I think you're a little humble about that, but I think that's very significant. And thank you for sharing that.
No, not really. But ironically, that the Japanese situation when I was university student supported my decision because after bubble burst, most of the meaningful work evaporated, and especially at the time for female, it was very hard to find the meaningful work equal to men. Therefore, if you want to be meaningful person in the long term, in any event, you have to find a new avenue to go.
And so in-house legal counsel was a kind of new avenue.
I think so. I hope
Oh,
so.
yeah, I think so. And what kind of work did you do in that first role with them?
At the beginning of my career, luckily enough that I have been involved in a various major domestic and cross-border M&A transactions for Mitsubishi in 1999 or the early 2000s, that it is not that much opportunity to launch the M&A, so that I was lucky enough because that when I was a first year employee, that I was involved in the Mitsubishi's acquisition of the Lawson share. It's just quite interesting.
I bet it was. Wow, amazing. And were you part of that team or were you helping to lead that team at that time? I guess when you were a first-year employee, you weren't leading, but did you have find that you had quite a good capability or an opportunity to speak up and be part of that team really quite deeply?
Yes, I hope so. And of course, at the beginning, what I could do is at the very administrative work. But still, because our relationship with the acquired companies, including Lawson, was so long, that the second wave of the additional acquisition or the further collaboration in the business would be, if I dare to say, that led by me. And
Yes.
it is really fun.
Great. Wow. And you didn't just stay in Japan. You also went over to New York and had some experience there. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, and with the Mitsubishi's scholarship, that I had the opportunity to study law at the Columbia Law School, LLM, and after sitting for the bar exam, which I passed, I briefly worked at a New York law firm called Paul Weiss. It was really eye-opening experience for me, and it made the U.S. a law foundation, which is variable.
Where did you learn English? Because how do you sit an exam like that and do the LLM course without having a real structure in English? And I'm just always fascinated by the Japanese like you who go to America and sit that bar and do the LLM. It's actually genuinely fascinating for me because I just don't know how you do it. But did you have English as a kind of subject that you liked or that you had focused on that before you started doing law? Did you like it through school time as well?
I have never had even passport before joining Mitsubishi Corporation.
Oh, I see. Right.
My English is what I learned at school from Japanese English teacher. Therefore, my English is not that great at all. But
I think differently, but yes, okay. I hear what you're saying. You're being very tense. I'm very humble.
I learned English from textbook. However, at the time, we were baby boomer, and in Japan, that the exam competition was also fierce. So we were, in a sense, that good at competing on the paper exam,
Right.
regardless of whether you were good at English or not. We know how to handle the difficult puzzle question on the
Oh,
paper.
yeah.
But what made me amazed and stunned is that the rather like I say, negotiation or verbal presentation made at law school and also in the law firm.
Yeah, I guess you would have been, I think you might have been pretty impressed by their really hard work and the sharp way that they were thinking.
Yeah, exactly. And I was so stunned by the fierce competition in the law school. Or it seems that they are smiling, but at the same time they see that the other students as the rival to compete for the career. But at the same time that I realized that the law firm, that the competition continues to forever before you become the partner. So it looks really hard and impressed.
Yeah, and I mean, did that make you think how much you really loved in-house work?
Yeah, exactly. And again, that I really appreciate their professionalism, and that they were great as a very specialized area. But at the same time, I realized that how strongly I love my in-house work, especially Sogo Social work. And I'm not necessarily super athlete when it comes to the one single sports like swimming or ball game like the basketball, football, whatever. However, that we in-house in general, and especially the Sogo Shosha in-house, can swim in any style, and we can say play any kind of ball games so long as it is sports. So in total, we are good at handling unknown area of law or new business. That's what I see as my own competence and the preference. So it was very good opportunity for me to have network with New York Legal Society. But at the same time, I find that where I want to live is that the in-house world.
Yeah, I get it. And I love your analogy for sports is that as an in-house legal counsel, you become good at all kinds of sports, all kinds of topics, not just one speciality. There might be a speciality as well, but generally you become a general expertise kind of person. I love that analogy. And it's really interesting that you can be in the New York legal law firm world, but also know that you are destined for in-house work. I love that. And you then came back to Japan, and I think you did some other work here. Can you tell us a bit more about that part of your journey? And I believe it also meant that you went back to the Shosha. You were just
Yes,
saying you
exactly.
love it, you like it, you know that's where you want to have your challenge and where you've got your competence. So tell us a bit more about that piece of your life.
Okay, so when I came back to Japan, I rejoined Mitsubishi Corporation and to handle, lucky enough, that a lot of cross-border acquisition, especially in the space of the natural resources like oil and gas. It was really fun. However, that I found that partially or majorly because of Mitsubishi's name, I could perform my own work. That is how I felt at the time. And while I was very happy to handle the cross-border work, still, I redefined my competence as the Japanese lawyer. And therefore, at some point of time, I thought that it would be better not only for me but for Mitsubishi, which is so arrogant, but even for Mitsubishi, that I should go out to test my own capability and get any experience that Mitsubishi couldn't give me, and to come back to Mitsubishi again. It is not what Mitsubishi asked me to do at all, and there was no guarantee to come back to them. And rather, it was opposite, and it was not common for Japanese companies to accept ex-employees to come back. But still, I thought that it is right thing to do, and therefore I joined the Act the Best Fund in 2007, which was focusing on the Japanese listed companies. And 4 year experience there, I thought that it is good timing for me to think about the next career, and I apply for Mitsubishi, and now here we are.
Wow, they had you back. I mean, they had the scholarship system to say, okay, itarashai, or you can go to America and do some law, come back. But the system of leaving as an employee to another company or another activity and come back was not really heard of. So you were kind of trailblazing there in a way as well. I mean, you just applied to come back and they accepted you. So, yeah, why not?
Now,
Amazing.
I assume that there were a lot of, say, discussions about whether it is good thing to bring me back. But luckily enough, that my mentor slash legal boss supports my decision. And of course, that even with his support, that without passing the paper exam and the 3-tier recruiting meeting, I could not get into it. But still, my boss's support is priceless for me to come back.
Right. Yeah. So did you keep in touch during that time when you were at the Activist Fund organization? Oh, I see. Yeah. So that's important too, isn't it? You didn't just say, see you. you kept in touch, and this person was important for you. Almost sounds a bit like a mentor in some way, that you kept in touch and
Yes,
then
exactly.
welcomed you back. So you managed to rejoin the Xhosa, and then there's a secondment comes up for you.
Yes.
And that's where you are now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
Now,
tell me about that, because it's been quite a long-term secondment.
yes, exactly. Almost 3 years,
Yeah.
and plus. And now
Yeah.
I'm seconded to Chiyoda Corporation, which is Mitsubishi's listed affiliate, and also leading global engineering business. And especially, they are very good at LNG plant engineering and procurement and construction. It is really great company, but actually was in huge trouble in 2018 to 2019 due to cost overrun in a US LNG project. It is open public information. And even at the time that Mitsubishi was the major shareholder, and Mitsubishi, together with Mitsubishi UFJ Bank, decided to support Chiyoda and to finalize their revival 5-year plan. And I was working on that project as Mitsubishi legal team leader. And after a couple of years indirect support in the capacity of Mitsubishi legal, I thought that it would be nicer and more effective for me to be seconded to Chiyoda, because I know well about the company and the plan. And if I were there at the time, I thought that I could help more directly their execution. Therefore, my current work is not limited to transactional legal matters, but also corporate governance issues, including handling the board meeting or shareholders meeting, and also, of course, the compliance and the PL, IR, and the sustainability issues. And also, I am expected to do anything that would be good for the company. Therefore, I always go to the senior management room or finance team to discuss various things to make the company better.
That's brilliant. And I do really love that. I can see a tie-in with that corporate governance work you're doing with the activist fund work that you did for 4 years, and how that must be so informing of for you to do that work as well right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Incredible. And something I'm hearing you say is something was really fun, and they're a really great company, and you really seem to enjoy your work.
Yes, I love my work and the Chiyoda. I love Chiyoda people, and for them, probably for the first time, they may be a little bit puzzled because until recently I represented the Mitsubishi Corporation, and then all of a sudden that I come here to say that I am your friend and please work together. But they are so open-minded and are very good at working together with the various background people. So I'm so happy about working here.
So good. And that really brings me to this really great question I ask everyone: is the most important thing that you have learned from your career so far?
Probably it is that the jumping into the blue ocean of a new world is
Mm.
so much fun. That's the important thing that I have learned. I have no time to be bored. And again, that I am not a good athlete. If that I'm required to stick with the one and one sport, but I can believe in myself. I can manage the new team, new sector, and the new country. And probably it is my competence. So again, that the important lesson is that the new thing, very fun.
Yeah, well, where does that confidence come from? Is it from those early days through the chaotic
Yes.
situations that you really think nothing can challenge you enough that you, and what I mean is it coming from a place of, because of all that happening chaotically, I can do anything because
Yes.
I know I can. Is there a self-confidence that's coming out there?
No, actually, that the confidence is a
Hmm.
little bit strong because I am too nervous person, so I'm always afraid of the very minor thing, and I am easily panicked. But after a short time of the panic and the nervous time, I find that, wow, that would be really fun and I can enjoy it. Like this podcast challenge for me.
That is amazing. I mean, to think about it in that way, to have that little bit of panic, and that is okay.
Yes.
And I've always found too, if I every podcast I do, I still have a little nervousness before I start. And I think the time that I forget that I have some nervousness, something will happen. That's a, make a mistake, and making mistakes fine, but having a bit of nervousness is a
Yes.
really good way to energize you.
Yes. So it is like a roller coaster. If
Oh.
the how to say, climb up, everyone is nervous. But if you go down, it is just fun.
I
And
love that.
it is not required to hop on the roller coaster, but you want to,
Yeah,
just
you
because that you
choose.
know that after that the short period of nervousness that you can enjoy
Even if you close your eyes going down, right?
it.
I
Yeah,
love
and
that
up.
analogy. That's another really great analogy. Wow, you must have seen a lot of things though change over the years. Maybe it's changed for women. And is there anything that you can see that become better then for women during this time that you've been having fun and doing your work?
Yeah, definitely. Female lawyers have become more visible and outspoken, in my observation.
Mm.
And partially because that I was just concentrating on my own myself. But when I was young, I simply did not know how to connect with other women lawyers. And I couldn't find any, like, say, connection. Of course, there were a lot of great women lawyers, but in my view, everyone looks so busy with their own career and a private life, and that they did 100 times more than what I could do. So I couldn't find any chance to talk to them. But now, more and more female lawyers, including Catherine as a representative, are openly offering help to other female lawyers. So that's the great change that I observe.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for that. That's, yeah, it's a purposeful thing that I do. And I feel that's sort of true, is that it was very hard to talk with other women lawyers growing up. And probably you and I were in that similar stage of becoming a lawyer and finding these women around us who were lawyers, but not always available to speak with.
Yeah, you are higher, but the higher and higher, but still, I'm lucky
Wow.
enough to talk to you.
Right. And so the number of female lawyers is increasing
Yes.
and they're becoming visible now.
Yeah, exactly. That's good thing. I mean, if there is the limited number of female lawyers, then you can see only one pattern of the role model. So you may feel that you have to fit yourself into that mold. However, because you can see the variety of people, you can feel that you can be yourself and still you can be a good lawyer.
Yeah, that is perfect gold, end of the rainbow gold there, because that's the whole point of this podcast as well, is to show people that they can be different and still be great lawyers. Wow.
Yes.
And I think if someone wanted to be like you and can hear you talking, and when you were talking just before, when you talked about you love Te Ora people, I heard you smile. I heard you smile when you said that, and I can tell
Okay, thank you.
really you are so enjoying your work, and I mean
Yes.
that genuinely. What if people want to do a role like you? What do you think they should concentrate on, perhaps, for their next few steps?
Yeah, I myself not sure whether someone want to trace what I did so far, because that I really love that the new things. So that if that someone want to trace my career, that it is second person or third person, first person in a very limited area. And rather, the world is so rapidly changing. And therefore, I'm inclined to advise younger generation to continuously observe how the world is changing and to think what you can do to navigate or contribute to such a changing world, instead of tracing someone's career. And in my case, because there is no market for Japanese in-house counsels, I wanted to create that community. But while that there are a lot of opportunities as a blue ocean, but if I were young now, I would either study more about international politics or coding and data science to be a good mixture of the lawyering and doing that kind of new things to explore those markets and communities.
International politics, yes. Mm. Geopolitics, coding, data science, amazing. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So what about other advice then that you've received that might have been really great or not so good that you could probably tell us about that might apply to young people now?
Yes. Honestly, that I have never get the bad advice. Every advice, like I said, let me think that what does it mean to me? So I have never think about the bad advice. But the best advice I received is my ex-boss remark that it is only you who cares about your personal success or failure. It is a little bit blunt and shocking remark, but it is really what I need to hear. When I was junior in-house and even now, I was so worried about any mistake that I make, and even if it is small administrative one, but whenever sensing that I become nervous, that ex-boss, who's a mentor, said this remark and hoping me to refocus more on big picture and the success of business instead of my own personal gain or loss. So that's the best one.
Wow, amazing. And I think you're right. What does this advice mean to me? It might not be good or bad, but it's okay, this is information I'm receiving. What am I going to do with it? Really yes. Great. And what about maybe your advice, though, for people who are thinking about a law career in Japan? Mm-hmm. Maybe even if you could go back and see yourself many years ago, what advice would you have for other lawyers? And maybe you've got some tips for women lawyers as well there.
It is not a straightforward answer, but I would like to advise them to think first about what you want to do for this world or what you like. And then if you find the answer to that question and if a legal qualification is a good tool to reach to that goal, then please pursue the legal qualification. That's the advice that I would like to give. So again, that it is analogy, but if you want to go to the nearby park to enjoy the blooming sakura, the best way should be go on foot instead of driving car. And if you want to go to foreign country, instead of driving car, the best way would be taking airplane. And if you stick with the driving car wherever you want to go, just because you have or you want to have the driver's license and the car, it is just illogical or just silly. So please, firstly, decide your destination. And at the same time, you can change that destination. But anyway, you have to find that first destination before finding the transportation or any tool.
I love that. I love how you're coming out with these amazing analogies and metaphors. It's so true, isn't it? I mean, you could walk to the destination, you can drive, but maybe driving's not the way to go every time. That walking, you can see different things and come across different things on your path.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, great advice. And say, how about for women lawyers then? Is it similar, or maybe you've got some special advice for women lawyers in particular?
Probably, actually, for women lawyer, if I'm there to add that the on one hand, I think that the, in comparison with my young era, it is great that you can get various information through the books or the internet or through a lot of networking meeting, and with which you can think of various options well in advance. So this is good. However, I would like to advise women to believe in your own sixth senses, even if it is not recommended in the books or the internet or by your mentor. Still, trust your senses and go do it when you are attracted to that thing. Because the world is changing and nothing is so sure. So book, internet, your mentor, they are Their advice could be a very good one, but based on the past experience. So if you make decision based on your own feeling, then you can enjoy the journey without any regret.
Right, so you're saying trust that sixth sense, the intuition and feeling
Yes.
that you feel in your gut, right? That you feel inside and don't dismiss it. Trust that.
Yes. Of course, that the information and the mentors are so helpful for you to think in advance. But the decision making is not necessarily what you do just by following those information or mentors.
Right, it's not only the information, it's also think about how you're actually feeling about this.
Exactly.
How is it landing on your body, as we often say, right? Think about
Yes.
that.
Yes.
That is awesome. Do you have any tips, maybe two or three tips that you think really serve people very well, tied into that feeling aspect? But are there some tips that you would give people to think about?
Yes, firstly, I want to respect everyone, regardless of the position or gender or race, etc. And you should be consistent on what to say or what kind of attitude you would take, regardless of whom you are talking to. And actually, I love the various words of Muhammad Ali, but here I would like to introduce one of his words. He said, "I don't trust anyone who's nice to me but rude to the waiter, because they would treat me the same way if I were in that position." So again, I would like to respect everyone, and that kind of attitude would be good in the long run, I think. And the second one is that I would like to respect truth, and human beings makes mistakes, therefore. A lawyer is not immune to that rule. So truth is truth, even if it is very disadvantageous to you, or regardless of who says, and whether it is contradictory to what you previously advised. But still, truth is truth. So you have to respect truth. And it is that the genuine lawyer's role, I think. Not making mistakes, but rather, I say, lawyer can respect truth. And a third one should be stay curious. I'm sometimes inclined to be in my own comfort zone because that it is proven and I know how I should behave. However, the real issue to be resolved by you or interesting issues should be always out of your comfort zone or silo.
Right. Oh my goodness. Yeah, truth is truth. And even if it is contrary to what you previously said, if it's truth, it's truth. I loved that. Wow. Switching gears, I want to talk about the things that we were slightly touching on before. Your involvement in Japan In-House Lawyers Association and other outside activities.
Yes.
You're involved in quite a lot, and several of them, if not all, you have started yourself. Yeah, you
Yes.
found something that was needed and you started it. So tell us about those activities because I want people to hear, number one, that they exist and they might be interested in them, but also what you've been doing in the community because it's really important to hear this.
Yes, great. Thank you very much. In the beginning of my career, we co-launched with other in-house counsels, Japanese In-House Lawyers Association. The first member should be less than five. I thought that it is a good thing to have the network, even if it is in the inception. And now, as of today, the members are almost like 2,000 plus. So I am really pleased that I was involved in the launching period of that organization, JILA. In the midst of the COVID-19, all of a sudden, the legal tech was in prevail. Therefore, I co-launched the various so-called legal operations study groups or organization because I wanted to say that before implementing the specific legal tech, please think about your own strategy or please think about what you want to do with that legal tech. And recently, I also co-launched the so-called Strategic Legal and Governance Study Group with us. And now, it was last year, which was founded, but now that the member is increasing with 300 plus members. Now, it is what I dedicate on my time. And by the way, its head is that the Ms. Shotoku, Panasonic.
Oh, yes.
And
Shotoku-san, yes.
It is to find the new way of what people with legal background can do. So it is, again, at a new avenue. I'm always trying to do new things.
Yeah, so it's a group that looks at what legal people who have got law in their background, what they can do as the new frontier.
Yes, and actually that the interesting point of that organization is that the members are not limited to someone with legal background, but rather there are scholars and the CFO type of people or business planning people or business people who currently have some sort of interest in law to be better.
Interesting. And is that an open group or really by invitation?
It is open. It is open. Anyone can join the group.
And it's in Japanese, so they should have some knowledge of Japanese to be able to talk with people, mostly.
Yeah, so far that most of people are Japanese, but we do not have any limit on it.
Right.
And rather say, of course, that it is to some extent to make Japanese companies better. So if anyone can have any interest in learning what we are doing, I'm really pleased to have them as a member.
Thank you. We will put some information into the show notes later. And I know you also work with the CLOC, Japan Shared Interest Group as well, right?
Yes.
What is
yes.
CLOC? CLOC. What is
yes,
that?
Exactly. It is international group to lead the so-called legal operations. It was created by the U.S., majorly that the high-tech company like Google, Cisco, etc. And now probably they have more than 6,000 people all over the world. But the CLOC, Japan Shared Interest Group, is that the first group established in a non-English dominant country.
Oh,
because
interesting.
Because they are majorly exchanging the information in English. So until recently, non-English speaker may notice it, but we thought that we Japanese should implement these legal operations to make the legal departments better.
Great. Yeah, wow. And why are you doing these activities? They're extra to your work, but how are they helping you?
I think that, that would be thanks to Chiyoda Corporation. And the Chiyoda Corporation wants to change themselves and to have their own new journey. And therefore, they really appreciate me to go outside to bring the new things back to their company. And they also know that that kind of change making would take time. Therefore, without asking me to have the imminent contribution to the operation, but rather they are so curious to learn that what's going on. Of course, that the possible way to get information by joining existing organization is one way, but it is another great way to launch the organization to find the people who have the same concern, issues, and agenda. So thanks to the Chiyoda, who are very good entrepreneurship company.
And I can hear you smiling there again. It's amazing. So you mentioned before that you would never have thought about even joining this podcast.
Yes.
And it seems like these activities you've been involved in have got you thinking about new frontiers, as we said before. Maybe not so much confidence to do it, but just going for it and doing it and seeing what happens. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes, it is really nice. Again, I never thought about having this great opportunity to speak with you such a long time. So originally, I was very hesitant and I was not sure whether I have good content to talk to people. But thanks to your guide, I really enjoy it. And I really want to recommend this if anyone can have same kind of opportunity.
Yay, thank you for that. I was wanting to ask you for a long time, but I was just pacing my time when to do that, and you were an immediate yes, so thank you for that, and great publicity for others who might be thinking about coming on the show but have said no so far. They might be inspired by you, I think. All right, we're getting to the end, but I wanted to ask you a little bit about future of law because you're doing a little bit in this space, and I think it would be interesting to hear from you about what you think is coming up in your field or in general for law.
Yeah, actually, in 2021, I read the report issued by Law Society in the UK, which also amazed me, titled The Future Wars of 2050. And it made my image of the future law. And before the AI era, our lawyering skill is almost proportionate to your own direct experience and knowledge in the legal world. However, in the near future, or even now, AI can eat all those experiences and knowledges scattered in the world, and it never make a careless mistake. Therefore, if you want to stick with what you did yesterday, then you will never win with the AI. So you have to find that the new thing that would be fun and also to create the value to the world. For most of the Japanese, they may think that the local language could be a barrier to the AI, but AI's translation capability becomes better and better. Therefore, local language, while the Japanese is so complicated, is n never ever a barrier to AI, I think. And possible existing that the barrier could be, in addition to the price of electricity, etc., regulation related to unauthorized practice of law, so-called UPL. As far as I understand, most of the country has the same sort of the regulation where the practice of law should be exclusively handled by the lawyer, qualified lawyer. But stronger the local bar association is, the harder the AI provider breaks this regulation. And the ABA or any other US Bar Association looks very strong with a lot of lawyers and a large market at stake. So they will strongly fight back to AI provider if they try to penetrate into, in the lawyer's view, UPL. But in comparison, Japanese lawyers are only less than 50K, and its market is relatively small, but country-wise, it is relatively known to the world. Therefore, I'm just wondering if Japan is a good test market for AI provider, and if the Japanese Bar Association find that OpenAI, Microsoft, or Google, or whatever else is conducting, in their view, UPL, then I'm just wondering whether Japanese Bar Association is ready to fight back. So, it is how I observe.
Challenge set down for the Bar Association in Japan. It's interesting you also talked about non-practicing lawyers or non-lawyers in teams. And I think our previous podcast guest, Olga V. Mack, she's put a petition to the ABA about stopping to use this word non-lawyer. It's quite discriminatory. And so she's talking about law professional or law adjacent person. So I think that's all part of the future. And maybe in that group that you've got, the legal and governance study group, this is something that could be talked about. I think it's very interesting.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Wow. Is there anything today that we didn't cover, Akiko, that you would like to mention, or something that you did mention but you want to re-emphasize?
With your kind leads, that there are a lot of things to be covered. But if I am allowed, that I would like to re-emphasize that please enjoy the doing new thing. And I could do it, so you can do it, and everyone can do it. And please do not hesitate to try something new. It is just fun. And new thing is not necessarily a big one. It is just about your attitude and spirit to try new thing. So, for example, you can walk a new route that you have never tried when you go to the office or shopping. Or you can read the book that you have never thought of. Or you can attend a party or a podcast like this and talk to someone that usually couldn't. And gradually, if you keep that attitude and spirit, dotted line will make the line and a surface and a new dimension, that lead you to the new world.
Oh, I love it. Yes. And that it doesn't have to be big. It can be a small thing, like a diversion on the way to the office, going a different path. I love that. Well, let's finish up the podcast on a lighter note with a few little questions so we can get to know you and a little more impersonal. We can get to know you a little bit more on a personal level, not impersonal. So, I want to know what your favorite Japanese food is and where you get that from.
I have a lot of favorite Japanese foods, but I like all type of miso soup in the local area or in my mother's taste. And when I have time in the weekend, so for example, I shaped bonito into flakes to make the katsuobushi to make good dashi for the soup, and it is very quiet, peaceful time for me.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine you doing that, seeing you doing that, because you can easily buy the bonito flakes, but you're
Yes.
talking about actually shaving it yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, I love that. Wow, what's some of the things that you might recommend to people who might be listening to you from outside of Japan and are thinking of coming to Japan? Where would you recommend they go?
Yeah, again, there are a lot of places, but I always recommend going to Kamakura, which is located and 1 hour train ride from the center of Tokyo, to see good mixture of contemporary life and also samurai era culture, so you can enjoy it.
Ah, that might be day two of the tour. That's where the other Akiko has her restaurant. Okay. What about then something that you love about Japan?
I like the culture of less is better, like Zen, rock garden, or haiku, or quite recently, probably KonMari, spark of joy,
Yes.
to sort out the house.
Yes, the stuff. Wow. I mean, you have lots of books that you've probably read. Is there some book that you could share with us that you enjoyed?
For this podcast, I would like to recommend Korean book. In English title, Kim Ji-yeon, born 1982. Actually, that Kim reflects where they are in Korea. And when I read it, in spite of the fact that it is about a Korean female who was born 10 years later to me, but still, I find a lot of issues in common. So there was no solution at all in the book, but in a good way, you will learn that you are not alone.
Very interesting. Okay, and the last question is, maybe I've got two actually. If you weren't doing your current role, what would you be doing?
Yeah, it would be just, like I say, the dream, but I would like to either be a not so well-known novelist or librarian
Oh.
or working at the publishing company to enjoy the first draft of the novelist.
Oh, there's something in that. I think you could write a novel and be do it under pseudonym, right? It doesn't have to be your actual name, and then you can be unknown in some
Yeah,
way.
that
Ooh,
could
I love
be.
it. And then something about you that people don't know.
I'm not quite sure. Sometimes I speak about it, but anyway, for listener, that I love rock music, by the way, and especially punk rock, and especially UK punk rock and Japanese punk rock. And
Ah.
if I can enjoy that noisy but energetic sound, it means that I am in full power and mentally healthy. So it's a kind of barometer for me.
Yes, I get it. Punk rock, my goodness. So that's very interesting. I didn't know that about you. What a great note to finish up on. Thank you so much
Thank you.
for being part of the podcast. If people have been listening to you and they loved what they heard, how can they get hold of you? Is that good to do on LinkedIn or somewhere else?
Yes, probably LinkedIn would be the best way for me to be connected if you are
Great.
interested. And in general, that I prefer having short message with the request of connection. And then it adds some sort of personal touch.
Ah, yes, always the personal touch. Let's not forget that when you reach out to people, don't just say nothing
Yes.
or, I'm interested in, you sound great.
Yes.
Yeah, let's connect. What is it that sounds great? Tell me what you've seen or read about me or something I wrote or you heard me on the podcast. Say that and let me know what you like. Yes,
Yes,
please be a
exactly.
human being.
Yes, and that makes me that the feel that the you are real friend from day
Right?
one.
Yes. There's the number one LinkedIn tip. Thank you so much for that at the end. And so, for anyone who has listened to this and you really liked it, please do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps for the podcast to be seen and heard by other people. And, let us know. Send me a note, send me a LinkedIn, a message that you like the show. I would love to feature you on a future episode with your words sharing what you liked about this episode. Please also share it with a friend, someone who needs to hear the messages that Akiko gave. We'd love you to do that and share what is going on in this podcast. We will see you on the next episode. Until then, cheers, kanpai, and bye for now. Thank you so much for listening today to this episode of Lawyer on Air. I really hope that you were inspired by the story you heard and that you discovered something new about women in the law. Please subscribe to the show so that you don't miss future episodes. And if you can think of even just one person to share this episode with, that would make my day. I invite you to connect with me to talk more. Jump on over to LinkedIn or Instagram where you can find me, or send me a message via my website contact page. That's all from me today. I look forward to seeing you right here on the next episode of Lawyer on Air. Cheers, kanpai, and bye for now.